This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. I got an interesting compliment today from one of our program directors, actually the owner of one of our radio affiliates out west. And he said that Free Talk Live is the only show on his radio station that does 3 hours a day live.
Really?
And I thought, that's a weird... Really? Like, there's all kinds of shows that are 3 hours. Like, 3 hours is kind of like a standard radio show length. Apparently,
really?
what he says, like, in syndication, yeah, it's fairly
common. I
would
have thought it was
common.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, usually, more often you're going to see three than two. I mean, there are some, probably sure. There are some two-hour shows. And every now and then you'll see a four-hour. Like, I think Alex Jones did a four-hour.
Good Lord.
Like that.
4 hours excessive.
It is a lot.
Well, you got to be dedicated when you're trying to save the world from gay frogs.
but what he clarified was that a lot of these shows that are out there that are quote-unquote live for 3 hours are actually doing a lot of pre-produced content. They're actually just hitting the play button. A producer is hitting a play button on an interview that they did from, you know, whenever or wherever it was. And
the monkey pushes the button.
Yeah, and there was another show that he said, even like an overnight show, was just letting people call, having guests call in and give a lecture, essentially. So the host wasn't even interacting with the person. So he says it's less common now for shows to actually do what we do, which is like, I've always thought this is like your typical talk show. You open phones up, you talk to people, and
I thought it was typical, but with unique perspective.
Sure.
Right.
Well, Free Talk Live was atypical in that we are open phones all the time, and most talk shows don't do that. They don't want to just have open phones because then anybody can call in and challenge them.
Yeah, it seems like Rush Limbaugh was like, you know, for the first half of his show or whatever, he sort of pontificated, and then the last hour or an hour and a half or whatever, right, he actually took calls.
Correct.
And he was also apparently a real screening Nazi.
Oh, I'm sure.
Big right. time.
Like,
most of them are.
You weren't going to completely kiss his butt, you weren't going on the air.
Yeah, most of them are, and those are some of the reasons why I formed Free Talk Live in 2002. By the way, coming up on our 20-year anniversary here very, very soon. It's actually going to coincide with the start of the Crypto 6 trial.
Hooray!
So, along those lines, it doesn't happen that often, but if you think we're completely wrong about something and you want to call in and tell us we're idiots, you can do that.
Yes.
It's okay.
And I wish more people would call in to oppose us. The other thing the guy said, and so that was one compliment, was like, yeah, you guys are actually doing it live and almost no one else really does that, which was a surprise to me, not knowing. I mean, I don't listen to the other shows, right? So I have no idea what they're doing. But he did say he thought some of the callers suck. Sarah, he specifically named, but it's like he actually listens, right? Like a lot of
that's refreshing.
Yeah, a lot of our program directors, you know, we're the night show. They're not tuning in. In his case, it's a West Coast station, so we're afternoon drive there, and so he is there in the office and he's listening to us. And I was like, I said, yeah. He said, you know, I actually listen to your show. I said, yeah, I can tell. You know who Sarah is. If you listen to Free Talk Live, you know who Sarah is.
Sarah.
So. But you can't.
I don't know. Sarah can be interesting.
She can be.
But more often than not, yeah, she's boring and talking about pedestrians or whatever.
You can.
She's a pedestrian car.
She is. And I think sometimes it can be an interesting conversation with her and us. And there's some people who love, you know, our conversations with Sarah. So it's like,
well, I think they love it from a sarcastic viewpoint. You know, it's like, how big of a fool can Sarah make of herself today, sort of thing.
But they still enjoy it. And that,
okay, yeah,
so
true.
I think it just, she's going to rub some people the wrong way, and some people like it. You can't. You just can't make everybody happy. So that's why I say, though, the phones are open, And one of the things I do enjoy hearing about, beyond people that disagree with us, because that's obviously the most interesting kind of conversations we can have, but also I like hearing about libertarians doing things, like what kind of activism is happening? What are the cool, you know, I don't want to hear about a politician. That's not what I mean by doing things. Libertarians running for office, not interesting to me. That happens all over the place. It's not unique. But if you're doing something unique, something that's pretty interesting or exciting, and you want people to know about it, I'd love to hear about it. You know, something that could inspire other people, like if you're doing some sort of libertarian outreach project or whatever it might be that, you know, maybe people need to hear about because they could take that idea and run with it where they are, for instance.
Oh, well, in that case, I've got two libertarian outreach projects going on right now.
Okay.
One has started, the other hasn't. The one that has started is Saturday nights at 10:30. We're doing Beard Talk Live, and yep, that's myself, Peakless Mountaineer, and Captain Kickass, and we have the most magnificent beards on the show, and
it's true,
we've decided to showcase them on a late night show, and it's kind of interesting. It's a lot less formal. It's a lot less structured.
That's correct. There's no commercial breaks.
There's no commercial breaks.
It's on the internet only, so it's uncensored as far as the FCC is concerned.
Yeah, and so it's just fun. It's not, you know, so sometimes we talk about serious things, but anyway, so I'm doing that. The other thing,
and by the way, that is being released in the Free Talk Live podcast. I want to let you know that.
Oh, nice.
But that it happened last week for the first time, so this was your second episode this weekend, and I did some training with Captain Kickass last night to show him, because it's a different kind of technical process to get that show in versus our normal show, just because it's a whole kind of different ball of wax to do an internet-only show. Mm. And
it's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, and so now our podcast listeners are able to hear that. So those that aren't able to listen live can now listen to Beard Talk Live later on, which is pretty cool.
Groovy.
Yeah.
And there's a second project, and it's a little more iffy. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to find somebody to produce it. But basically, it will be Free Tech Live, and basically, it will be kind of a deep dive into some of the technical issues, both of the present and things that I foresee in the future. So talking about both developing Cell 411 and how do you do a decentralized, secure messaging app.
So you're talking about like programming level kind of discussion, right?
Yeah, and so it's
so this would be even more technical than say Chris Wade, our Friday night co-host, his show Freedom Decrypted, which kind of covers the news in the world of tech mm-hmm. from a informed technical perspective. You're talking about getting into the nitty gritty of like maybe even opening up a programming mm-hmm. like you could screencast your screen yeah. and literally program on the air, basically. Kind
yeah,
of stuff.
And what I'm hoping to do in the process of doing this, one of the things that I hope to do is crowdsource some solutions mm-hmm. To things. And so if I manage to get an audience that's interested, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to, I don't know what the hell to do about that. And somebody calls in and says, yeah, it's a similar
idea. I've heard
issue.
That people, I don't know if it was you who told me that, but somebody told me that, like, sort of like people watch video, people play video games online, mm-hmm. there are people who watch people play, like, program mm-hmm. online. But that's a thing now. Have you ever heard of this already?
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's on Twitch as well. Actually.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something that would draw as large of an audience.
I mean, people sit there watching other people like mm-hmm. eat cupcakes or whatever, yeah. the ASMR mm-hmm. or whatever it's right. called. I mean, people will watch whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wouldn't imagine it would be a huge audience, but, you know, partially a lot of people want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you can learn things by watching people who already do it.
Well, you'll have to let us, I'm sure you'll let us know when you, if and when that begins.
Incessantly.
So very good. And how would somebody reach out to you if they wanted to help you with that?
You can reach out to me at, dev@copblock.app.
Okay.
Or pope@invisiblehand.church or
I will say that, you know, it's important for us to hear about other people's liberty activism, and this may be a spoiler for people. I didn't come up with the idea of running for a sheriff on an F the Police platform.
Who did?
I don't know who was the first one to come up with the idea, but I know for a fact that Eric Mulder, the guy who did my signs, had done it in the past as well.
Sweet.
And the only reason I even occurred to me to do it was because somebody other libertarians somewhere had done it.
Mulder is also an old hippie named Wavy Gravy who renamed himself to Nobody and ran for president in the 70s.
Borrow from the best, as they say. They're just ideas, and ideas are free. You can copy them, and the other person doesn't lose the idea when you copy it. There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. So we'll get into the Whitmer case on the way.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
open here, and you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to get into what's the news around the Whitmer trials, which there have been a few of them, I guess. A couple guys were found not guilty earlier this year, I think it was.
Yep. And there was a hung jury for two of them.
And then they got retried, those two, the hung jury two. And
which is so screwed up. And I want to, you know, focus on that just for a brief second that, you know, it seems to me the logical course of action would be if the government fails to get a conviction, a unanimous conviction, then that's the end of it, right? A hung jury should be considered a verdict of not guilty, as far as I'm concerned. Otherwise, you have this situation here where the federal government could just keep trying these people over and over and over until they get the conviction that they want, whether it's fair and just or not. It's absolutely insane. They should get one trial, one opportunity to find you guilty, and if they fail, that's it.
I would love for that change to be made. I don't know what it would take. I don't know if that's a constitutional thing or if that's just something that is part of the court system. They can never change it. Like, where'd that one come from?
They could certainly change it, right? I mean, or if they wanted to. The problem is they don't want to because they benefit from being able to try people indefinitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to be a terrorist, you got to be able to keep people afraid.
Yep, exactly. So there's an update in that case. We'll get to that. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are also welcome. By the way, our very own Mark Edge is going to be speaking at the Free Cities Foundation's annual conference, which is called Liberty in Our Lifetime. It's happening October 21st through the 23rd. That's coming up soon in Prague this year. They're going to showcase autonomous cities and intentional communities springing up around the world, offering opportunities for settlers to live freer lives. And you can save 20% by using code FTL20 over at their website, lifetimeliberty.com. Get your tickets now and be in Prague. Meet Mark and many others who are working to free people all around the world. It's October 21st. Through the 23rd, the Free Cities Foundation's Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference, lifetimeliberty.com with code FTL20. All right, so Aria, what do we need to know? What's the latest development? Because the two guys they retried got found guilty.
They did.
On the retrial.
And this could offer a suggestion as to why. So a coworker recently alerted a defense attorney that one of the jurors was allegedly biased. And the reason I'm skipping forward to the second paragraph is because the first paragraph of this, for whatever reason, journalists, they don't know how to write anymore. So it assumes that you have all of this information available about what's going on. They say a juror seated on the recent trial of two men convicted of attempting to kidnap Governor Whitmer. That was the most recent result. These two men were found guilty. According to a transcript of a meeting the juror had with U.S. District Court Judge Robert Junker, he denied having said that the men would hang and likened the encounter with the judge to that of getting called to the principal's office. That's how they opened this article. It's very vague, and if you don't know what they're already talking about, it's useless. So this coworker claimed that this juror, and it doesn't actually...
The coworker of the juror.
Yes, it doesn't say the juror's name, so we're just going to have to call him the juror, said that the men on trial would receive a guilty verdict and hang should he, the juror, be seated. Judge Junker determined that the juror was fit to serve after an investigation showed the accusation was not corroborated and provided secondhand through another co-worker. The transcript released Friday details a short meeting between the judge and the juror on August the 12th, a day
so,
after...
So, hold on. You're saying that this was brought to the judge's attention, the allegation about what this juror allegedly said to another coworker, which was that he would guarantee this person gets a guilty finding. Before the trial even started. This is during jury selection.
Well, I don't know. The conversation happened on August the 12th, a day after the accusation came to light.
They referred to him as, at that time, I thought it was like a potential juror or something.
He may have. The timeline isn't very clear. He obviously said that before he was a juror.
Right. I was going to say this. Oh, right. It was a statement of his, like, if I'm seated on the jury. So this was brought to the judge's attention, and the judge just said, well, it's hearsay.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So you can stay on the jury.
Like, this wasn't corroborated, presumably because there wasn't a third person.
Right. So how are you supposed to corroborate it then?
The conversation in the judge's chambers lasted less than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Junker, the judge, told the juror he wanted to meet so that he could ask the juror questions and better understand whether the juror was able to serve fairly. The judge later described the allegation raised by a co-worker who said the juror, quote, had strong views about the case before becoming a juror, and at least some people, I hate journalists so much from the way that they wrote that paragraph. It's not like I have that on tape, the judge said about the claims of bias to the group assembled in his office. It's not like I have anybody saying that under oath, but we have information that you came to the court that suggests you made statements like that as recently as Monday, which was before you became a juror, in connection with your place of work. So why didn't they put the guy under oath, the co-worker? Why didn't they say, Will you take an oath and swear that this juror said this?
Yeah.
Because it seems like that would have been a logical step to take.
Well, the judge's paycheck gets signed by the same guy who signs the paycheck of the prosecutor, and the same guy who signs the paycheck of the FBI agents who entrapped them. So
pretty much.
Yep. The juror said they did not. The juror said that they did not remember. I got confused by the word "they." There did not remember making statements about a guilty verdict or hanging, nor did the juror talk with coworkers about being assigned to the kidnapping case, according to the transcript. The juror said they only told coworkers that they had jury duty. I didn't even know that this was the case until I came in Tuesday morning when I glanced at the TV. That doesn't mean that he wasn't sitting around the office saying, man, I hope I get on the Whitmer case. I'm going to find them guilty. You know, you don't have to know that's the case you're going to be on if you know that there's any chance you could be on that case.
And given the unhinged hatred that's been coming out of the left, I'm not the least bit surprised.
So from your perspective, no reason to understand why anybody would have heard, overheard, or believed somebody else heard you say something like that, the judge said. Yes, the juror responded. Okay.
That's interesting. I didn't even know there would have been a transcript of a judge-jury or judge-juror conversation that happened in chambers, right? This wasn't an open court.
Good point.
Was it? It sounded like he was in his office.
It didn't say whether or not it was an open court.
Yeah. Sometimes they will have a stenographer in chambers. It depends on what they're doing.
Wow.
So the judge, the guy should have been removed, as far as I can tell, from being a juror. I mean, even get the guy to
kick him out.
Yeah, right? I mean, all he's losing is $15 a day. It's not like it hurts him. That's the pay for a juror, because they want to make sure they get the sharpest minds they can find on that jury. It costs him $15 a day. And by keeping him on that and giving the juror instead of the defendant the benefit of the doubt, they may have destroyed two lives.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do.
And they described it, they liken it all to being called to the principal's office. You know, this juror
did.
Having to go talk to the judge. It's like, oh, I got called to the principal's office. I'm in trouble. I better lie
just
to get out of trouble.
Out of
yeah. Just like people did in high school. It's just absolutely disgusting. The juror should have been kicked off the case from that moment.
And now these guys are found guilty in a case that was probably very similar to the two guys that got found not guilty some number of months ago, where the allegation on their side was this was all an FBI setup from top to bottom, and these guys just essentially were the dupes that kind of went along with it to some extent. There's more coming up. If you've been following that case closely, feel free to weigh in here. This is free.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden is set to address the nation this week in prime time with November's midterm elections looming. The White House saying the president will speak in Philadelphia Thursday on what they're calling the continued battle for the soul of the nation. The president is ramping up his travel schedule after taking the majority of August off. NASA scrubbed its planned launch for the Artemis 1 spacecraft Monday. Artemis mission manager Mike Safran explaining how soon they're expecting another launch attempt.
The team is setting up for a 96-hour recycle. So they're still holding in the launch countdown configuration, and we're preserving the option for Friday. They're replenishing the commodities out at the Launch Complex 39B.
This will be the first time the United States has attempted to launch humans to the moon since the Apollo program ended 50 years ago. This is USA Radio News. A Republican senator says he supports FBI whistleblowers.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has confidence in the FBI whistleblowers who've reportedly stepped forward to GOP investigators amid claims that the agency committed a host of violations in the Hunter Biden laptop case. The senator claims the files taken by the FBI may have contained incriminating evidence against the FBI.
To me, that's what this has always been about, a dispute over national records, presidential records, and the classification and who has the authority to do so. So what I'm concerned about is that some of those documents might have been those responsive documents, might have had embarrassing, possibly incriminating information against the FBI. Now we're not going to ever see those again either.
From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
President Biden back at the White House Monday after spending the majority of August on vacation. USA Radio News.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Nobody, and Aria on show here tonight. We're going to continue with more of your calls and your thoughts, and then we can get into some of the cutbacks that they're making in energy as far as, you know, official things that need to happen for people to not freeze to death apparently this winter in Europe. There's an interesting story about that coming up, and we're going to go back to the phones first, though, where we have David on the line in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
They won't freeze to death. You don't have to have a heating source to stay alive. You just have to have a heating source to be comfortable. You had answering the question.
Wait a minute. That's the dumbest thing I've heard today, but okay. Hold on.
Well, it ain't the dumbest thing because I've lived it over and over and over again. You don't have to have.
You live in New Mexico. Dude.
It gets to 30 below zero every year.
30 below zero?
Yes. Look at the weather record.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And so how do you keep warm without a heating source in 30 below zero temperature?
Well, if you were going to stay warm without a heating source in 30 below, you would look at the Native American. Well, you can look at natives anywhere around the world, including white people natives in Northern Europe. You would just bundle up in warm wear and make sure you have food, and you will stay warm.
Okay, so no one's ever frozen to death? Is that your allegation here, David?
No, people have frozen to death, but I doubt there are very many I would bet there are almost zero people living in an indigenous manner, like I described, a primitive Stone Age manner. As long as they had hides to wrap around them and they had food to eat, even if they did not have fire, it would be very rare that anyone would freeze to death.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
It's completely unbelievable. It's utter nonsense is what
Eskimos,
it is.
There are Eskimos, a politically incorrect term. There are Eskimos, Inuit, doing it to this very day every single year in Alaska and everywhere else around the Arctic Circle, all the way around the world. They do it every year.
Yeah, I guess they do have igloos, right, to trap whatever body heat in. Is that the idea?
That's one thing. Yeah, if it goes to 40 or 50 below zero outside of an igloo, if you got four or five, you know, they travel in groups of people when they're out hunting. There might only be two, or may only be one, but usually four or five or six. And if you have four or five or six bodies inside a 10-foot diameter, 12-foot diameter igloo, and it's 40, 50 below zero outside, it will be about 5 below inside, which is very comfortable compared to being outside.
Well, yeah, he's right about that.
I mean, yeah, 115 degrees is cool compared to being on fire.
Man, I start losing circulation in my toes if it's like 50 degrees out and my feet.
Well, you forgot your mukluks. You forgot your mukluks.
Yeah, what is that?
That's your boots made of fur, whether it's seal fur or yak fur or bear
fur. I probably need
to
get some of those.
Yeah, you need some mukluks.
I don't want to split hairs too much, but if you have four or five other people with you as well, those are heat sources.
Yes, they are.
That's true.
That's what I said.
He did.
He did say that. All right, David, what else?
Yes, but he also says people don't need an external heat source.
You were calling to refer to something else. Go ahead.
And like I said, the Eskimos, politically incorrect term, do it every single winter. Every single winter, they prove that. They go out on their trips with their dog sleds or their snow machines, and they don't start any fire to keep warm at night because there ain't no trees up there on the ice.
Yeah. So, he makes a good point.
It's true.
And they do fun things like eat raw liver from seals. All kinds of other good high-calorie food like
that.
Was
that the reason you were calling tonight? Wasn't there something else?
Yes, yeah, what you guys are talking about. You left the question. You posed the question and left it unanswered about the question was, why don't they just put the co-worker that said he heard another co-worker talk about this guy's statements? Is it doesn't matter whether, even if they find that co-worker and put him or her under oath, it doesn't matter that the person is under oath because they are repeating hearsay, and hearsay is inadmissible. You would have to find the second coworker that the first coworker claimed to have overheard and put them under oath and question them. Then you would get somewhere. That would be
admissible. I don't know if that's necessarily correct, because the rules of evidence are different depending on what you're doing. So that would be correct if you were giving evidence in a trial, for example. Mm-hmm. But in a I don't know about jury selection, but I know that hearsay is admissible in a bail hearing.
Well, the question is that if you're doing the voir dire portion of a
which
trial,
is French for jury tampering.
Yes. If you're doing that, is that not a phase of trial?
It is a phase of the trial, but so is the bail hearing.
Yeah, that's all good points. Well, thank you, David, for he does bring up a good point about hearsay.
But he does not bring up a good point about the Eskimos, because it took a very quick Google search to find out that they do, in fact, light fires inside of igloos.
Inside of igloos, really?
Yeah, because as long as the fire loses heat faster than it reaches the walls, they'll never melt. And that's why, in fact, they generally put a hole in the top for the smoke to escape and all of that. So, yeah, the reason they don't freeze to death is because they, like human beings, have been doing for tens of thousands of years.
Use fire. Thanks, David, for the call.
And although there's no wood there, there are a lot of places where they will burn things like dung for actually dried poo.
It does not say what they're burning.
Interesting.
That's correct.
We continue here with more of your calls and thoughts. We've got Penguin in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I'll keep it relatively quick. I was listening to a podcast, actually, that I will plug because it's actually one that you guys play, or you, Ian, play on the Liberty Radio Network, Dangerous History with Professor C.J. Kilmer. Great, great podcast, great host. He's been on my podcast. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great libertarian history podcast from a guy with a genuinely, like, open-minded but genuinely really informed libertarian perspective. So, guys, check that out.
Okay.
But I was listening to something about the American Revolution, and I really was thinking, I had never really learned about that as an adult. And the myths we learn as kids, the little oversimplifications and little stories we learn are not really useful as much as some, you know, libertarian-minded people might like the idea of the revolution and the patriots and all that jazz. But time to learn about it from an adult, and I'm learning about it from, Prof. CJ. So, but what I'm interested in libertarian things, property and such, but another thing that a lot of libertarians don't look at as much that I'm interested in is class and the structure of society. Something that was really interesting about the colonies back then is with the New World and the colonies and everything, there was a lot of people in society. A lot of people in society did not have land, and there were slaves or indentured servants or folks and everything, but there's a lot of people that were small-time farmers that weren't elites, but had some land, had some property in their name, and farmed that property, you know, conducted their own trade, and so property rights and other individual rights and stuff were very, very important for them in that society. And so it kind of gave them, you know, the heirs of what we might call like early libertarian society at the time, and made them much more apt to kind of, you know, be a bit rebellious against the crown, against the empire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that just shows there's a material base and a material kind of condition involved in having a lot of people with access to free enterprise and legitimately acquired property, and having a large number of people, you know, having that kind of skin in the game, even in small amounts, and having the ability to trade and do free enterprise is kind of crucial, I think, to having libertarian values propagate the society. Mm-hmm. And any other place in the world that's a much more stratified society and everything, like most of the world, probably all of the rest of the so-called civilized world back then was, probably didn't have as many libertarian values for that reason.
Interesting. So basically you're pointing out that having the idea of property and even people with a small amount of it leads to more libertarian thought.
I think so. I think the best way to get leftists on board with liberty is show them how to make money.
Thank you, Penguin, for the call tonight. There's more coming up here on Free Talk.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and phones are open here. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Nobody, Aria here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com. And by the way, coming up in June, you got the 7th annual Fork Fest, which next year is going to be happening before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So it's going back to where it all started. ForkFest, when it first started in 2017, was prior to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It was started at the time, I think a lot of people would say, because of some people had some disappointments with the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the world's largest libertarian camping festival and has become very, very successful. At that time, it was on a bit of a downturn. And so people said, well, you know what, we're going to fork it. We're going to do our own thing. So they created ForkFest. It was called something else at that time, but the next year started being called ForkFest. And it is a decentralized thing, which means that there's no one in charge. There's no board of directors or organizer or anything like that. It's each individual gets to organize themselves. So if there's something you want to bring to the table, something you want to, let's say you want to cook for people and, you know, charge for making meals, or you got something else you want to offer to the community for sale, you can do that stuff without having to ask any permission. All you got to do is get your campsite, your RV site, or your motel room with Rogers Campground June 15th through the 18th. But over the years, the Porcupine Freedom Festival turned around. They changed some of the policies that were, I think, frustrating to a number of people, and for the better. They have actually turned it into a much better event. It's much more now like it used to be, more decentralized these days. And so, to some extent, ForkFest was a success, right? Like, if the idea of ForkFest was people to say, hey, you know, we're going to take our business over here, and we want you to change how you're doing things, they changed things. Now, whether or not it was because of ForkFest, that's another question. It certainly probably was because the numbers of ForkFest attendance were going down over some years. And now they've hit a maximum. They cannot...
Well, at the same time, ForkFest's numbers were going up.
And now that's been sort of leveled out and kind of gone down over the last few years as well. But the Porcupine Freedom Festival hit a maximum. It has sold out the park for the last 2 years in a row. And so there's a darn good chance it's going to sell out the third year in a row, which will be next year. So if you want to attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it's now going to come after Forkfest. You can slap them both together and be there for 10 days straight or 11 days, and it'll be a great time. We recommend doing both. So go to forkfest.party, and you can learn more about that event there. It's, again, June 15th through the 18th. It's an unofficial website. Everything with Forkfest is unofficial, but it does link you to some of the other chat rooms and forums and such. You can contact directly other people who have attended and will be attending again Forkfest. So check it out at forkfest.party. Let's go to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live, Major.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
a couple of right before I get to my subject matter.
Yes,
as far as the Michigan militia boys that they found guilty, that is under appeal. And whether or not they're going to let them out on bail, I do not know. But
they almost never would do that. If you are found guilty at a criminal trial, they take you into, usually take you into custody right away, and then you have to sit while the appeal goes through.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the second point I was going to bring up, because I was incarcerated by the feds a few years back, and I met one cat that they were trying to break, saying that he murdered his own baby. And he'd been hemmed up 2 years, hadn't had any counsel or anything. I met another guy that had way too much dirt on the feds, and he'd been locked up for a year and a half under the same situation. But sometimes you barely make it out of there, dude. Anyway, the second thing is on the Eskimo heat source. Their standard ancient procedure was just an old, simple wick oil lamp powered by, you know,
Right. Yeah.
Right? And that little flame in that enclosed thing will actually glaze the inside surface, seal it, bang, done.
Good to know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we all knew that, you know, blubber and well oils and all that stuff was a big deal back then, particularly for some of these, you know, Eskimo tribes and stuff like that. So thank you for making that connection. I hadn't thought about it.
Yep. Seems obvious now.
Yeah.
So
the third point that I just heard an interesting tidbit here. I don't remember who did the survey, but evidently Michigan is the fourth laziest state in the country.
Really? What's the first three? What's the most laziest?
I'll get to that, but first I got to give you the basis on which I know that the information was ascertained.
Okay.
They gleaned who has like a second job or does volunteer work, and I think there was a third category, but it ain't sparking. So anyway, the two, three laziest states, and here we're going to give street cred to New Mexico again. We got beat by Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and dun-dun-dun, New Mexico.
Wow.
Well, New Mexico, though, is going to be skewed by having Sarah there. I mean, that's probably that's probably twisting the whole curve.
Maybe it'll go over and light up her heater, I'm sure.
Hey, thanks for the heads up, Major. Appreciate the call.
So, another piece of Aboriginal trivia.
Sure.
The band Three Dog Night.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered what the heck that meant. Well, apparently, in the Aborigines of Australia would rate the coldness of a night by how many dogs they have to sleep with. So if it was really cold, it was a three-dog night.
That's interesting. According to the, let's see, here's another, Zipia.com, the 10 laziest states. They say here that...
Did they mention Sarah? Do they, you know...
Well, they mentioned New Mexico. But I'm not surprised to hear Massachusetts and Rhode Island mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
They say in a meticulous, well-thought-out, and painstaking methodology, we narrowed down our list to the 10 laziest states in the country.
I'm sure all of that is true.
Yeah, right. How do they determine it? Well, they started with data to answer the hard questions. In this case, we went to the latest version of the American Community Survey looking for answers. As luck would have it, the Census Bureau released the 2010 to 2014 five-year estimate, which makes this analysis the first of its kind with new data. And if you consider new to be from 2010 to 2014, after scrolling through what seemed like hundreds of criteria, they settled on this set. Lowest number of average hours worked, shortest commute time, fewest workers per household, labor force divided by the number of households, highest unemployment rate, and the fewest adults with a college degree, although I don't agree that
well,
it
so far,
a college degree.
So far, all of that criteria is just going to tell us which states are most successful.
Right.
Just that's because I only have to work, you know, just because someone only has to work, you know, 15 hours a week doesn't mean they're lazy.
What if you can pay all your bills
right.
by working that many? Yeah, that's good.
And unemployment seems to be the wrong thing to measure because the way they count unemployment, it actually measures how many people are looking for work.
Mm.
So really, workforce participation, which is the gross percentage of the workers who are actually working, might be a better mm-hmm. indication of how lazy people are. The other thing that they don't consider there is what's the level of gray market activity like? Because it may well be that people are very industriously selling weed, and
that's not going to be cataloged.
That's not going to be counted.
Well. You guys bring up some really great points, and the site just threw everything behind a paywall. But I will say,
of course they did.
Their number one result was also New Mexico. So apparently, on more than one,
it would
scale.
Be interesting to get Sarah to briefly move out of New Mexico and do that measurement again, see if it changes.
and New Mexico is kind of it does have a reputation as a welfare state. There's a big government there, and not a lot of people. So it's considered a blue state, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that Gary Johnson came out of there.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of strange that they had a Republican governor, and although he was a Republican governor with some values that, well, that the left would have agreed with when I was a leftist, like legalize weed. I guess they're all
sure.
about, you know, locking up the black folks for weed, even if they, you know, so long as they can call everybody a racist and feel superior, they don't mind actually harming people.
But didn't Gary Johnson own a dispensary or something?
I doubt it.
I thought he was heavily invested
in
the marijuana.
But my understanding, I also believe that he went into the medical marijuana business after he ran for president.
Speaking of the devil, she's on hold. She just called in. So we'll bring Sarah up here in just a few moments. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. We'll get into the European crackdown that's beginning. The beginnings of what's going to be likely something gets much worse as wintertime gets closer with restrictions on energy usage. Some of that might be coming here to the U.S. soon as well.
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.